it's prohibitively expensive to set up some sort of monitoring system, but we can leverage the curiosity and kindness of these strangers in order to contribute a very small thing, but that adds up to something much larger.
This is Choose to be Curious, a show all about curiosity. We talk about research and theory, but mostly it's conversations about how curiosity shows up in work and life. I'm your host, Lynn Borton. Welcome. Come, choose to be curious with us. Years ago, I came across some research by Dan Kahan and his colleagues at Yale on science curiosity and political information processing. Rather disturbingly, they found that science comprehension can aggravate politically biased information processing. So clever you can make any data point support your side. But that people with science curiosity actually show less partisanship. They may want to agree with their aligned group, but they just can't help themselves. They need to know the truth. In other words, as Kahan put it, it is curiosity, not smarts, that helps us come together. That research was published back in 2017, links on my website. And if such a thing is possible, it made me an even bigger fan of citizen science, those collaborative efforts that bring professional scientists and the public together, allowing anyone who wants to participate to collect and analyze data and contribute to real scientific research. So my antenna are always up for this stuff, which is why I was so excited to stumble on Chronolog. Chronolog is a way to generate time-lapse images of Earth powered by your camera and mine, used by organizations worldwide to monitor the environment and inspire stewardship. So far, people have contributed 150,000 photographs at 1,000 sites in 48 states and 10 countries. Those photographs help with monitoring restoration, invasive species, native species, fire, wetlands, lakes, rivers, shorelines, forests, gardens, and even, as I discovered on a recent visit, the demolition of a nearby stadium, all while enjoying the changing seasons and tidal flows in places like the lovely Anacostia River wetlands. Chronolog is an answer to the question, how might we leverage citizen science to monitor the environment on behalf of parks that are too resource constrained to do so themselves? Chronolog has designed and developed a photo processing engine, the map-based interface for viewing the time lapses, and the portal for owners to manage their time lapses. But you, gentle listener, you are the engine, the photographers of record, of science. And people, these time lapses are the coolest things. Imagine standing in one spot, watching the seasons and years stream before your eyes. The time lapses are, for me, equal parts mesmerizing and energizing. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, wow, that looks so different. I wonder why. I wonder what, when, how, wow. Which, I am guessing, was kind of the plan. I am delighted to have climate tech innovator and Chronolog guru Kai Wildermuth join me today from Seattle. Welcome, Kai.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you.
I'm excited to have you here. So it's pretty cool. I've discovered that the very first prototype for your Chronologs was right here at Kingman Inherited Islands. I didn't know that when I went to visit. Tell me, how did that come to be?
So Chronolog, humbly, is not my idea at all. It was a system designed by a friend of mine and a mentor, Sam Droege, who's a scientist at the USGS. And he's a very passionate scientist. He's really into the citizen science community and coming up with programs that work really well at large scale and kind of these like low-tech efforts that can, like as you're explaining, collect a bunch of meaningful data by using the power of human collaboration and curiosity. And so he had an idea for these. I think the way he described it was fixed point repeat image photography photo stations, okay. Something along those lines. but effectively a chronolog photo station, or that's what the kind of original idea was. And so he introduced me to Jake Rose, and he likes inspiring other people to take his ideas and run with them. And he encouraged us to go build out this platform. So we developed the idea, and at the time I was in college and we were looking for local ecosystems, our first people to run prototypes with. And I don't remember the exact details of how it ended up being Kingman Island, but I'm sure it had something to do with Sam Cherokee. And eventually we were given permission to set up these photo stations. And now, as you say, they're the longest running stations that we have. And those were the first chronolog photo stations we set up.
Okay. So describe what these things actually are, because we've sort of talked about these fixed point photo things, and but I'm sure for the listener that makes no sense. If I'm walking along a trail and I come across a chronolog, what do I see and what do I do?
Yeah, sure. So imagine you are walking along a trail in your neighborhood park, and you see a wooden post in the ground and there's a sign. And it's a pretty simple sign. It's yellow, it's bright, it catches your attention. And it basically says, hey, you, we are looking at something in the environment here. Could you take a photo and send it to us? And there's this odd looking bracket sitting on top of the sign that instructs you to put your phone into the bracket. It's just there to fix the point of the camera so that everyone's photos are more aligned. And you take a photo, you send it to Chronolog via an email. At this point, admittedly, you don't know, a lot of people don't really know like what they're contributing to.
what am I getting myself into?
Exactly, yeah. But that's kind of, I mean, we can talk about this more. It's kind of the point, or it's like maybe a useful thing. But the goal is ultimately to kind of like pique your curiosity as you go by this enough so that you actually upload the photo. And then we send a message back when we receive your photo that shows the time lapse. So it is after you have uploaded your photo that you receive this response. You see the time lapse. You see maybe hundreds or thousands of other photos just like yours, taken by hundreds or thousands of other people at the same spot over the last 5-10 years. And that's the moment where you kind of realize what is happening, why you've contributed this photo. And we also have the organizer of the site provide a description of the reason why they are doing the science or why they're doing the monitoring here. And as you mentioned, the use cases are very wide, ranging from restoration to forest recovery to construction projects. And yeah, that's kind of the experience of engaging with Chronolog for the first time.
So why do you think most people do participate? They're walking down the trail. What do you think pushes them to put their phone on this funny looking gray frame?
It's a good question. And I think there are probably a few different ways to answer it. But one reason, at its like basic form, I would say is there's some curiosity at play, right? You don't know what's going to happen. And I think like sometimes that's maybe even a reason why people don't contribute. But one thing is that we don't need everyone to contribute, but the people who are like curious enough to actually go ahead, put your phone on the bracket, take the photo and upload it, you get rewarded, I guess, on the sign. We are nudging them lightly in the direction that, hey, there's a reason. They're like scientists who are doing work here and they want your photo. And I think that maybe is a good enough reason to engage people and make them interested enough to contribute. I will also say that like maybe to answer it in a what it's not way is it doesn't ask you to do too much, right? It doesn't ask you to download an app. It doesn't ask you to take 6 photos. It doesn't ask you to write a description. And that was something that was really intentional in the design of Chronolog, was to minimize the friction so that you can have that direct connection with the person and try to get them engaged in a simple way Because as soon as you start asking too much of someone, you're going to lose their attention pretty quickly.
Well, I have to say mission accomplished, because that's exactly my reaction was kind of this delight in being able to make a small contribution. And then there's this immediate gratification. I mean, like you send the picture and immediately comes back an email with this video of all these other pictures, which is amazing. And then for me, it was this interesting intersection of imagination, validation, surprise about how what the scene in front of me, how different it could be at different times of day or year or over the years, which then ignited all these questions that wouldn't necessarily have occurred to me from the scene that was in front of me at that moment. So not only do you get a tangible reward, but you also get this kind of dopamine hit of all these cool things. I mean, to me, it sort of enlivens the scene, right? Suddenly I'm thinking about this view in front of me as, oh, interesting. They're studying this for some reason. What is it they're looking at? What am I seeing that's in relationship to that? Do you feel like the parks and other sites that are using this have really leveraged it in all of those ways?
Yeah. So there are kind of two main things that an organizer of a chronologue site gets out of it, or two buckets of things. One is the data, mm-hmm. right? It's like a qualitative record of the changes that are occurring, which could be very important for a large restoration project. And of course, there are a lot of other technologies that they could use to collect data, satellites, sensors, surveyors. And so Chronologue fits into that bucket a lot of times. But there's this other bucket, which is the storytelling bucket. And I think at first, we were very intrigued by the data bucket, but it turns out that that human connection aspect, the storytelling aspect, the way that it just makes people feel, like you just described, is really special. And honestly, I think it's like the cooler part of Chronologue. It's like, it's kind of cheesy, but you know, like there's a saying that a picture is worth 1,000 words. And it's like, what's 1,000 pictures worth then? And it's kind of like Chronologue. It's like, you, when you're there physically, you are looking at a picture. I mean, it's a very high dimensional picture. You're physically there. But then when you get to look at 1,000 versions, 1,000 snapshots of that, like you're saying, you really get to explore that space in a very different way, in a way that we can't explore without a tool like this.
Yeah. Is there research to be had about that storytelling aspect of Chronologue?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, does the way that the engagement aspect, the way that like, okay, you're doing hard science, and that hard science is kind of being done in a black box, or it's hidden from the public. But it's very interesting science, yeah. Very meaningful science. Like if we didn't have scientists doing all of this work behind the scenes, we wouldn't have beautiful public spaces. And Chronologue kind of exposes that, kind of like cracks it open a little bit, and allows the community to engage more directly with those things that are happening. And I think that some amount of appreciation and awareness is valuable. Like at the end of the day, if we want more like conservation and restoration work done, we want to convince the public that it's a good thing. And if we could show the outcome of that work and make people feel like they're a part of it and that they're benefiting from it, then yeah, I mean, that's a mission accomplished.
You're listening to Choose to Be Curious. I'm your host, Lynn Borton, and my guest today is Kai Wildermuth. We're talking about Chronologue, curiosity and citizen science. It's also interesting to me because I like the idea of animating questions And Chronolog started with this animating question, right? Of how might we engage people in a way that would fill a gap that exists, a need for parks and other places that don't have the resources to make this stuff happen. And I think part of what appeals to me about the Chronolog story is that it takes something that was already there, people walking in a park and views, and puts them together in a novel way that really adds value. Do you think of it that way?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I maybe used to think that that was like what Chronolog was all about. You know, like you can't get this data unless you have a Chronolog because alternatives are incredibly expensive mm-hmm. or complex. And that is the case for some Chronologs. It's true. Mm-hmm. Saguaro National Park has a Chronolog in this remote area of their park. I think it's like up on a mountain and there are these special pine trees that only grow there. And the organizer of that Chronolog has told me that it's the only record they have of like the snowpack in that area. Wow. And they wouldn't be able to have it otherwise. And so there are these use cases where, like you're saying, we have hikers going there. It's prohibitively expensive to set up some sort of monitoring system, but we can leverage the curiosity and kindness of these strangers in order to contribute a very small thing, but that adds up to something much larger.
So I had a funny reaction to it. I was like, I wonder if I could figure out how to do this at home. I have the good fortune of living in a place with a balcony. I have a cool view out across Washington, D.C. And people are always coming over and they're taking pictures. And I thought how fun it would be to create a little station where people could take their picture and then have it be part of the same, you know, see all the other pictures that people have taken from that exact same spot, different times of the year, the sunrise, the sunset, you know, fireworks, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, well, this is more complicated than what I can put together. But I think there's something about people feeling like they're part of a continuum that's kind of powerful. So I don't know, when you decide to do like a home version DIY, let me know because I'm in.
I do have a few personal Chronologs. Like I'm the only one who knows about them because there's not a sign in a bracket, but they are in the wild in my neighborhood. So there's one that I go to almost every day when I walk my dog. And I get the same photo basically because I've created a marker. I've used the structures, the permanent structures that exist in this park to create a marker that's good enough for me to get the same shot every time. But that space has become so special to me. And I like always go out of my way to go to it. And if something is happening that day, like there's like a beautiful sunset or a storm or a tree fell or there's snow on the ground or there's construction or there's a lot of birds out on the lake that the shot is showing, I like need to go to that Chronolog site to record it. And I just sit there with my dog and we just like, I just feel like the physical space has become more special because I am thinking about history. I'm thinking about time. I'm thinking about change while I'm sitting there. And I don't mean to like over exert the importance of Chronolog. Like at the end of the day, the physical space is the beautiful thing that is really providing all of the value. But Chronolog is just this like little tiny thing that can add to it and make you think about it a little bit more critically. It kind of goes two directions. Another story that's kind of similar is sometimes there are these Chronolog sites that I'm like, wow, this is beautiful. There's one in Hawaii. It's just this gorgeous scene. There's always like incredible different cloud configurations going on. There's one in Spokane, Washington that is just overlooking this beautiful lake scene. And again, very dynamic changes as the water levels rise and are rising lower, and there's storms, and the trees are changing colors, and there's snow. And these are just some of my favorite sites to like go back and scrub through the images in the time lapse. And then sometimes I get the chance to go there. Like I'm going on vacation, or I'm like doing a road trip and I pass by a Chronolog site. And going to that site is like almost like visiting a celebrity. Like you have this like idea of what they're like in your head, and then you're like, wow, like it's so much more beautiful than I could even imagine. And so that's kind of fun, like both ways. It's like you can have this site that you really love, and Chronolog can make it more special. Or you can discover this site that's like a fantasy because all you have is the Chronolog. And then you go there and you're like, ah, like I'm here.
I will confess, I look now when I'm going someplace, I look to see if there's a Chronolog nearby.
Nice.
And it becomes a destination for me. It's part of how I visit new places now.
Cool.
Because somebody has said there's something here that's worth paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to kind of honor that and see it and contribute in some way. So do you feel like you have curiosity practices that have arisen from Chronolog? These are ways large and small that you bring curiosity into your day as a result of all of this?
Preparing for this conversation, thinking about this conversation, I started like pretty abstract, you know, like what is curiosity really? I realized how hard it is to put words around curiosity.
Yes, it is.
Which is really strange, actually. Like there's some things that are just hard to describe, and curiosity is one of those things.
But what'd you come up with?
Okay, I'll try to put it in words. The first thing I can do is recognize a feeling. Right. There's like curiosity is like a feeling. But even then, it's like, okay, that's not really helping that much. But it's this like instinctual thing. So when I'm curious about something, I kind of like lock into it. You know, there's this like, imagine like a dog like cocking their head. They're like, you know, like sometimes I'll like make a noise or say something to my dog and they'll like turn their head and look at me. And I'm like, that's curiosity. And it's this like tension between not knowing something, but also recognizing that you might want to know more. And being attuned to that feeling is, that's an instinct that's there for a reason. And I think it's like a good signal of like, ah, like if you can recognize curiosity, then you can be like, ah, that's worth investigating. You know, I think just even like trying to put a word to it made me appreciate that feeling more. And I realized that I've spent a lot of my life relying on that instinct. I'm not much of a planner. I like kind of going on a whim with things. And I think that's related to curiosity. It's like you can rely on your instincts to drive you in the next direction. And you're just kind of being pulled by this, oh, I don't know that. Let me take a step over there. Ah, oh, I don't know that. Let me take a step over there. Instead of like trying to guess what's important.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Well, you've obviously done a lot of thinking about it. So I'm going to throw another curve at you. Now I want you to come up with an analogy for curiosity. A game for my big jar of wannabe analogies here?
All right, let's do it.
Okay. All right, so I have an actual jar, slips of paper with random words on them, and we're going to make an analogy to curiosity with whatever is on here.
All right.
Okay. Oh, this is so weirdly on point. Yours is, how is curiosity like a dog's wet nose? Mine is a nun's habit, and I have one for our listeners. So would you like to go first, or should I give it a go?
Why don't you go first?
Okay. How is curiosity like a nun's habit? Man. Well, I guess a nun's habit has some kind of iconic ideas that we have about it, about what it looks like and what it represents. And to what you were just saying about curiosity, and yet sometimes I think it's not that at all, and it's not about the trappings and the specific look of it. It's more about the feel of it, I think, for the nun, probably. and that it's an outward manifestation of this inward commitment to something. And I think curiosity is a little like that, that our actions are outward manifestations of an inward commitment to investigation and exploration and maybe a little bit of joy. And
nice. That was pretty good.
How is it like a dog's wet nose?
Oh, I feel like I got the easy one here. I was just talking about dogs. But okay, I was talking about curiosity is like a dog's wet nose. Because a dog doesn't think about their wet nose. They use their wet nose. I don't know if a dog's wetness has anything to do with their like smelling ability, but I'm just gonna say that it does. They use that to drive their decisions and let them navigate through the world in an ideal way.
I love it. I love it. Okay, that's great. And listeners, yours is a robin's egg. How is curiosity like a robin's egg? We have quite a collection of analogies here today. Well, Kai, thank you so much for this. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really has. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Choose to Be Curious. I'm your host, Lynn Borton. Thank you for joining us here today. You can find me and all my episodes on my website at choosetobecurious.com. I hope you'll follow me here, there, and on Facebook, Instagram, and Blue Sky, all at Choose to Be Curious, where you can share your robin's egg analogy, hashtag analogy. Many thanks to my innovative guest, Kyle Wildermuth. Links to Chronologue, a quick reel from my visit to the Chronologue at Kingman and Heritage Islands with former Choose to Be Curious guest Esty Levine of Cheap and Free DC, and that Dan Cahan research on scientific curiosity, all on my website. Thanks too to Sean Ballack for our theme music. And this is a catalog of seasons from Migration via Blue Dot Sessions. I hope you'll join us again next time. And until then, choose to be curious.
I kind of realized that, like, whoa, Chronologue is one of the largest repositories of time lapses of Earth that's being built. And that, I'm like, well, okay, that's actually kind of special. Like, yeah, we have like satellite images, and like we can't really touch like the kind of scale and duration of those, but from like being on the ground, I can't really find another system that is building out such a breadth of recording of what's happening on our Earth from like a photography perspective.